Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is John Johnson on Radio Edutalk. I'm quite excited because this is the first broadcast I have made this year, a rather late entry into 2016. And I'm even more excited because I've got my very good friend Ian Stewart with me tonight. Good evening, Ian.
Good evening, John. I'm excited too.
Good. And Ian is here to talk about the hashtag that I have mangled many times on Twitter recently. It is M-I-E, expert. So it's got a double E in the middle there. And it's Microsoft Innovated Educators Expert, which Ian is going to be talking about tonight. If you're interested in asking a wee question, point a tweet at either Ian, myself, or the hashtag Edutalk, E-D-U-T-A-L-K. We're going to start off just by asking Ian how he got to where he is today. Where he is today is sitting beside me and the microphone, but a wee bit of backstory here.
A wee bit of backstory. I've been heavily involved with Microsoft products for 10 years. I was the principal teacher of technology and then acting deputy head on Islay High School. Islay High School is coming up to 10 years of using tablet PCs and for pupils and for teachers, and wirelessly broadcasting out. And OneNote is my heart desire, and in fact I know certain people who every time I mention OneNote seem to take a drink and they get very drunk very quickly, but it's a great product, and that became our interactive whiteboard software. So we were using this as part of the whole school experience, and Microsoft was our basis for all this. I then became involved with a wider community. I became aware of a wider community that was the Microsoft educators globally, and actually picking up lots of ideas and suggestions and collaborating globally became a really important part of the work in practice. So officially I've been a Microsoft Innovative Educator Fellow for 2 years now. I'm the only one in Scottish education. I'm the only fellow in Scottish education in schools. David Renton is in the college sector, with the amazing stuff he does with Touch Develop and all those wonderful programs, including Kodu. But it's not about the tech, it's what we can do with the tech. And I know every tech company says that. But what I really like about the Microsoft Educator community is it's 1.5 million global educators all going, how can make this a better experience for my pupils?
So how did, I mean, I think we need to just emphasise a wee bit about the Islay experience, because if we're talking about innovation, I think that certainly the first one-to-one that I saw, there might have been some in the States before that, I don't know, but it was, when did you start that?
2007, 2005 we started planning, 2006 we rolled out tablet PCs to all staff, and put in wireless projectors in all teaching areas. This was the first tranche of the Schools of Ambition programme back then, so we had extra funding to do all this, and part of that was Microsoft became in as a partner and said we will support you in getting one-to-one to every pupil. The pupils are now on to their fourth generation of devices, so that sustainability has come through, supported by local authorities, supported by continuously by Microsoft, and it's to me allowed the kids in Islay and Jura to connect not just with each other but to connect outside the islands. We're 2.5 hours on a ferry. We're, depending on the wind direction and speed, 20 minutes to half an hour from Glasgow Airport, but that's £195 return. So geographically we're isolated, but actually what this made was the connection to the rest of the world. It didn't actually, so long as the technology worked, that was the other thing, we using Microsoft, we can actually use the existing network, sign in independent people all the way through. So it became a much more connected experience, if you pardon the pun.
So just the very first lot of devices, they've gone now completely out of the school, so we've actually sort of iterated through several generations
four generations of pupil devices.
And were you involved in the sort of innovative network at the start of that, or did you become that?
No, I wasn't. The innovative network, there was an educators community. It was quite a simple, basic sharing community. And it's evolved quite a lot. And I haven't been involved in this evolution. I think other people have been much more involved long before I was. But because I was using this technology over a longer period of time, I became drawn more and more into it. I also like the fact that the framework was based on the UNESCO stuff. So UNESCO framework for teacher skills and technology is the framework it's all built on. So it's not about, can I use Microsoft products? It's about, can I teach with technology and does it make it better?
Mm. So, I mean, just to jump right up to today, if you're in Scottish education, certainly, and on Twitter, the hashtag has become really popular.
Yeah.
There seems to be a big increase in people just signing up at the moment, is that?
We've gone from, last year there was one, me, David Renton in the college sector. This year we have 27 active MIEs who have signed up to it. And actually we have an MIE OneNote classroom, which some people have put in just to get a bit more experience of how to use the OneNote classroom, and it's now got 42 individuals in it.
So that's people who are not necessarily
existing MIEs, but I'm calling them future MIEs.
Right,
because that'll be the payback in the future.
And you're trying to, at the moment, build this as a fellow, it's your kind of job to
it's my kind of, I've taken on the responsibility to try and develop the network in Scottish education.
So I don't know if we can, I mean, it may be worth dipping into the different projects, activities, products that have been used in education in a wee bit, but if somebody's, and a lot of people in Scotland are using these products, they're teachers, they're interested in joining up, what do they do?
First of all, they go to education.microsoft.com. And that's the Microsoft Education Community, and they've got a list of login options. They can use their Office 365 Glow login, they can use a Microsoft Xbox, those kind of Outlook type ones. There's a whole other ones they can use to identify themselves, and then that's it. They sign up, verify the account, and they're away. They can join in, they can look at what's there and join in.
At this point, they wouldn't be considered innovation experts. They're just joining the Microsoft community of educators.
It's that wider community.
Right. And what do you get out of that?
Access to resources, lesson plans, exemplars of what other people have done in their classrooms. And it's because it's global, you will get people from Kenya, Malawi, using really basic tools to try and encourage the pupils to think in a different way about how to access technology, to fully embedded one-to-one programs similar to the Isla one, but globally. And it's how do you actually then say, what is the learning in this? How do you approach all this? You get access to CPD opportunities. You can start earning badges and collecting evidence on your ongoing basis that you use for CPD. There's a really interesting course that you can sign up to, and it sends you to the Microsoft Virtual Academy to sit the course called Teaching with Technology Basics. And it's just a usual type MOOC that allows you to then go and look at the videos, answer some questions, develop your thought processes, and then you can then go to sit an exam and actually get certified
as a
Teaching with Technology Microsoft. And then you can, if you've got something you would like, you feel is innovative, unusual, bring something new to the party, you bring something new to the party, you can apply to join the MIE program.
Right, so sort of you would expect the people in the MIE program not to be necessarily experts in all aspects of the technology, but you would expect them to be doing something different with it? Or
certainly innovative in, it could be the context, it could be the way it's approached, it could be it could be outside school, it could be absolutely anything. I was speaking to some of the MIE experts last week, the West Coast ones, excuse me, and it was amazing how Scottish is this, the number who said they were uncomfortable with the word expert, because they don't feel they're experts. And I tried to say, but you're expert educators, you know how to teach people, and it's very Scottish, and it's very, I'm not sure about that. But They are experts. They're experts in their classroom. They're experts in approaches to things. And it's about how you share that with each other that becomes the important part.
Have you got an example, maybe, of some project that somebody's just used to, you know, in the process of becoming an expert?
Annette in Greif High School has done some really interesting things with her geography class using OneNote. But she's also, since she's joined the programme, became part of the Mystery Skype group. And the Mystery Skype's a really interesting one, where it's become, you know, your name goes into the hats and you've got to try and work out who you're speaking to, where they are, connecting to them. It just connects people in a very emotional way, rather than being a technological one.
So, is this for classrooms?
Yes, it's for classrooms.
So, your classroom connects. It sounds a wee bit like that game where you get yes no answers.
Yes, it's
right.
Very much like that game.
Except you could be doing that from somebody from the Samoan Islands or...
The example I saw was actually in a classroom when it was done and it was connected to West Indies.
Yeah.
And you could see that it was bright sunshine, so you knew it wasn't Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
You knew it was wider than that.
So we're using video?
Using Skype, yeah.
Right, not just the...
Not just the audio like this. I don't get an audio for a joke.
I just, yeah. It's all in the voice.
I have a face for radio, I don't understand.
That sounds quite interesting. So in my class, I can sign up for this. And am I signing up then as both ends of the conversation? As somebody else at the other end trying to guess where we're from?
Yeah, well, you can do that. You're doing it as one way, and then another time you can do it the reverse way.
Right, okay. And, I mean, apart from, I mean, I'm thinking just... It would tick a lot of CFE boxes, and you know, just about learning and thinking skills and stuff like that. But also, I presume some geography.
Because
like
it's quite common for people to ask, you know, what colours are in your flag or those kind of things. Is your flag this colour? Does it have a Union Jack in it? Which kind of indicates some things in there. It does make people think. It's also quite interesting with the group dynamic within the class reacts to this, which is very different from a teacher asking questions.
Mm. Oh, because this is for the pupils who are answering the questions that they're doing this. The other thing about that is that it doesn't sound... I mean, going back a number of years when I think Microsoft, I think business, I think, you know, here's a spreadsheet or I'm going to format this Word document to look in a certain way. You know, I'll kill somebody with this PowerPoint.
Yeah.
But this actually sounds like good fun. I mean, I would do that on an afternoon or something.
Yeah.
Just myself, just if I could connect randomly with audio people. So it sounds like that's a shift in culture.
I personally believe there has been a shift in culture, partly. In Microsoft, right across the board, it was very much these are the tools, use them or not use them, it's entirely up to you. Whereas now it's like, how can we connect, how can we make it better? The other part of the LIE is you become a voice for education and you get a big input into where these tools can go in the future. What would be good for you in your classroom? And if you're good for you in your classroom, it'll be good for lots of educators and lots of classrooms.
So I'm just seeing on the Twitters here, it's a Mr. M who seems to be a Minchal. I'm probably murdering that
Andy
name.
Minchal, who is a primary school teacher in Paisley, who is at NIE.
So he says, we travelled 19,000 kilometres and visited 7 countries in 2 days for Mystery Skype. Was fantastic part of Skypeathon. I mean, that you already, you've got 19,000 kilometres, which in a primary school, I've got a big number.
Big number.
I've got something to do, I can do, you know, but that's in my mind.
Big number, big excitement.
But that seems to... And the other thing, I guess, is maybe that these tools... I mean, back in the day, say 10 years ago, I did a reasonable amount of video conference in a primary school classroom, but I used £2,000 worth of kit stuck on the top of a television and had to run about like mad because the telephone line was at the other end of the school. And you know, it was just, you had to be really keen to use this stuff. You had to really go at it.
Yep.
And we're now talking about Skype. And in that time, I actually the unit had a remote control camera so you could turn it about the class. And now we're talking about Skype. it's quite easy actually just to turn a webcam and point it around different people can
or use it on a smartphone,
yeah,
and just take it straight through there and take it for a wander through and connect in with connectivity if you've got it.
So I mean that just seems like a huge shift in technology in a few years, from having to have, I mean, I had a video conference expert come in and talk to me and work with our class so that we could get this done, and we had LTS doing clever stuff with the internet pipes.
Connecting it up,
I think we used 6 IDSN lines, you know, but now we're talking about doing this on a smartphone, and that's a huge huge change.
Yeah, I mean, I think the question now becomes, how do you do it? What can you do? Not the, do we have the right equipment? Mm. Generally, people have the right equipment. Sometimes it's just a pocket or a bag.
Well, another thing I think about the Mystery Skype, because I mean, one of the things when Ian and I were working together that I used to rib him about was that Isla High School was still in the future, because it had, you know, a one-to-one environment and a lot of people are not working there. But we're talking this Mystery Skype thing. You've got one device that can connect to the internet in a whole classroom, and that sounds pretty great. I'm just having a wee scan down the Twitters. There seems to be a few people listening out there, so if you are listening, you've got any questions for Ian, fire away and we'll try and pick them up.
And any MIEs, please use the hashtag and say where you are and how you're connected to other people.
Yeah, that would be great. It'd be nice to hear from you. Any other sort of MIE highlights?
I mean, the biggest challenge is getting people to get together and actually talk to each other face to face. We're sitting in a booth in a hotel in Glasgow having a coffee, and actually that human interaction is really important. Now we've got Skype for Business, mm-hmm. which is, although the word business is a misnomer in our case, but we actually can have quite quick conversations really easily, generally speaking, and just have people together who are asking each other questions. We've got a shared OneNote class book, and actually the MIEs are in as students to experience what that feels like for them, and me and one other person as a teacher tripping in little bits of information and sharing ideas, then putting that in the content area just to give an idea of how this could be used. And it's about how you then take that and move that into your, because what would work in Isla will not work in Renfrewshire, or work in Paisley, or work in Edinburgh. It'll be different contexts, and it's picking out what's appropriate for what you're trying to achieve. We were having a conversation today in Argyll and Bute that technology is actually such a big, wide thing now. It's like saying engineering. You know, you can talk about electrical engineers, you can talk about mechanical engineers, structural engineers. Computing's become this massive thing now. You can actually, you take one part of it and that'll become, yes, mm-hmm. I can use this in my context. Other people pick out other parts, and there are so many tools out there, and it's not just the ones that are actually available directly from Microsoft, it's the ones that become accessible through your Office 365 connectivity, joining into something like an open source community like GeoGebra for mathematics. Use your Office 365 account and actually it appears in the title bar, and you just click and it sends you straight in, and it's that ease of use that's starting to appear in all products, and it's about how you use that identity and how you use that to achieve what you want to achieve. The question is, what do you want to achieve? That's the big question.
So, avoiding that question, it seems a bit hard for me, I wondered if you would maybe talk a wee bit about some of the specific tools that are available, because as I say, from my sort of memory of North training, I remember, you know, endless
PowerPoint,
Word. It seemed to me a very business environment. And since the last couple of years, I've been paying a little bit more attention to the Microsoft side of things.
That's because you were sitting right next to me in the Scottish Government, John, and I just kept talking to you.
No, but some of the, I'm interested in, there's things like the Minecraft thing, there's the Touch Develop, and I wonder if you could pick out one or two of those things and just talk a wee bit about them.
I think Touch Develop is a very interesting environment that's purely online, allowing very quick and easy creation of simple tools. David Renton, who's the other MIE fellow in Scotland, is a global expert around getting this into education, and I would highly recommend following David on Facebook or Twitter and get dipping into his background knowledge that he's shared. It's fantastic. The big one for me that's coming through, it's still in preview right now but available, is Mix. So Mix actually makes PowerPoint really useful, and that you can actually put the plugin into PowerPoint, and as a teacher you can record over the top of it. In my case, I don't put the video in because I do have a face for radio, and it actually allows me to create really quick videos. Now I can save those videos. Those videos are there, and I can drop them into anything, YouTube, anything else. Interestingly, if you then upload it into Mix itself, you then get into a really interesting space around who you share it with, what analytics come into that, when they watch it, how many times they watch it. You can put quizzes into it to make sure that people are actually getting understanding in there for feedback, and it starts to build on that analytics. It's, as I said in preview right now, it's due out probably in about 6 months' time. But actually, I think that's the start of Microsoft's journey into big data around analytics and understanding how the individual connects in through all this. And then, of course, as you know, John, a huge OneNote fan.
Mm-hmm.
So OneNote to me is an excellent way of sharing stuff right across the whole curriculum, particularly with the add-ins that are starting to appear now. So the I put a video in a couple of weeks ago of the Learning Tools plugin, and I had the Scottish voice from Call Scotland installed on the device as well. It actually read back the page I was looking at in OneNote, put it into black, spaced it out, then I could pick out syllables, nouns, adjectives, so it would all go up different colours, making it really, really accessible, which I really liked. Sway has captured lots of people's imaginations. I know John's created a couple of Sways. It's just a really quick way of presenting really nice ideas really quickly. I think, as a design and technology teacher, I think that's how I would expect students to present ideas, to actually put them out there and say, this is how it works in here, and actually gather together really, really quickly. So those are just three that I think are really, really important. OneNote's been going there for a long time, but the add-ins are making a big difference. The Mix is in preview. You do require Office 2013 and above on a PC right now, but it is coming, it's growing, and Sway is really quick, and it's online, and it's part of the Office 365 suite, so it's going to be your Glow account, you're there.
Well, interestingly enough, Sway is one of the tools that was added into Glow, and you can access it from your Glow account. And to me, what's interesting about Sway is that it is public. It's one of the few of the Microsoft side of Glow things that you pupils can publish to the internet. I always like
and embed in the blog and share it out widely. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, and that sort of stuff. And the other big one, and I don't know if you're a Minecraft player or not, Ian. I've died quite often but never made anything. I'm very disappointed, but I was watching kids down at Bett, and I've talked to children in North Lanarkshire certainly who've been using Minecraft in the classroom for a number of years now, mostly on iPads, because that seems the easiest way to get it into our schools as opposed to have to have servers and things. And it seems to me to be very engaging. It seems, in a primary context to me, to fit into learning in the same way as, you know, any other sort of creation of artefacts. I'm going to call them artefacts rather than art, because, you know, the probably something to do with quality and things I'll never get to for art. But, you know, making artefacts always seems to me to be a useful adjunct to learning. So if I'm talking about the park, we'll paint pictures of the park, we'll make models of the park, and that might help us think about parks and how they're designed and who they're for. And I would see Minecraft as a kind of extension of that, but I don't know.
I find it the same. I used to use SketchUp, the Google product, formerly Google product, a lot, and the way I've connected that to the world and it creating artefacts and put them in a context, I see it in very similar ways. And I think linking that into the whole Lego brick by brick idea, mm-hmm. is a combination. To me, it's a combination of the two. When you move into the virtual reality stuff and the headset stuff, the HoloLens stuff, the idea of looking from your perspective or somebody else's perspective in a fully 3D immersive world moves that on again to that connection of learning, that connection of what are you actually trying to achieve here. It goes back to that. So if you build something in Minecraft and it's connected to the learning, it's the unpicking of the learning that becomes the important part, as with all these things.
Right, because I mean, we've seen a wee bit of pushback against Minecraft in various ways. It just seemed to me, apart from any sort of pedagogical thing, that the fact that it is engaging and it can be related, it doesn't, you know, maybe the learning, I don't know, because I said I've never managed to learn anything in Minecraft myself. I need more lessons and I need to find some children.
Either children or teacher.
It seems very difficult. We're getting a wee tweet from Andrew again, who's saying that the Minecraft Ed hashtag is good for following to get more information there. And I just have a wee shout out to Caroline Braley up in the far north, who's listening along. If you are listening, we'll be going on for.
There's a question from Ian Guest, came from me, and he did send it to the hashtag. In what ways are the LIE program different from its predecessors/contemporaries, e.g., Google and Apple? I have been involved a little bit in the Google community because I've been using some of their products. I find accessibility, it's not such an exclusive club. It's people who are wanting to join, but yes, they do need to apply to join, but it's not a huge, big, difficult, massive challenge of joining an exclusive club. I'm not an ADE, I'm not an Apple user, as John knows. John is an ADE, so I can't really compare those. What I do like is, when I started, it didn't say you must use our products. What it said is, what do you want to learn? And it said, you can't use these products, and we'll give you these products. Actually, and even more so now, it doesn't matter what device you're on. It doesn't matter. We don't really care. What we care about is learning and teaching and education being part of that. One of the interesting things I found out fairly recently is that the whole OneNote program is entirely geared towards education. All 160 engineers who are working on the OneNote program only work in education.
So what happens to the poor business people that are trying to migrate from Evernote, Ian?
Now I know how it feels. When it comes to actually teachers or educators who've had to use business tools for a long time.
Ian is of course a regular contributor to EduTalk, which, by the way, since we seem to have an audience tonight, anybody can do just by either sending me an audio file or firing off audio boom, as was audio boo, the hashtag EduTalk, it will get incorporated automatically, or drop me a mail if you'd like to take part in EduTalk. But Ian, I was just before then, I was saying to Ian, I'd be really interested in doing shows with people from different sort of educational technology clubs, and talking about this very issue about, you know, how we relate to big companies. I don't think I'll spend too much time on it today because I haven't thought hard enough about it, and it would put anybody on the spot to have to answer that question quickly. But I think it's a really interesting area. As I said, I'm an ADE. I go to Apple events. I like, in general, Apple stuff. I'm running various things on this computer here. But I don't actually tweet much ADE.
No, I
tend to just tweet things that interest me and GIFs. I think it's a really interesting conversation.
And where does marketing end, and where does product use begin, and where does it merge into classroom? For me, and this is a personal statement, is that it's about learning and teaching. Mm. It's what makes a difference in your situation. Yeah. And I would decry anyone for joining any particular network because it's about what you need to get out of it, or joining, in some cases, all networks.
Yeah, because there are people who are Microsoft, Google and Apple at the same time, and especially, I think, I don't know, but in the States, I certainly found an awful lot of people who were in the Google and Apple camps together.
What tends to happen is that it's the same community who's very active in these things, and the question is, how do you break out of those communities and make them accessible, make them relevant to other people? And I think we're talking about technology in general there, not just whatever flavour of technology you want to talk about.
Yeah, and it maybe doesn't really matter. And the other thing I think about this, and that I'm now wambling on an awful lot, is that it's quite hard to implement technology in classrooms for teachers, because they've got to be experts in all sorts of other things, never mind the technology. And then if they've got to know deep enough, and Ian brought up a really interesting point, I think, earlier before we were broadcasting, about we don't challenge our textbooks very often. We don't say, why am I using
a particular product?
One. Unless you're working in higher education in America, and I think they challenge Pearson all the time. But you know, generally, we don't talk about this. We're kind of, that was a wee aside. We've got a wee while left, so if there are any questions for Ian, fire them in. Is there anything else, Ian, you'd like to cover or talk
about? Yeah, I mean, the thing I find interesting about any of these networks is the people. That's the important part. And the people who come in, people who join these things, join them for a range of reasons. It could be that they're isolated in their own particular area and they want support wider than that. It could be they've got a particular interest, which is generally the case, and they want to connect with others with a similar interest. The other part of it is, how do you connect to that general teaching population? And I think Microsoft are putting some stuff together around teaching with technology, or if you want to do a specific learning around a piece of technology, that then you then can then evidence what you've done and how that fits into maintaining being a professional in the 21st century in Scotland, and how that could link in. It's not there yet, but how it could link in. And again, doesn't matter which network you're talking about, it's how do you align these things. And the fact that the Microsoft framework is not a Microsoft framework, it's a UNESCO framework, is a really interesting thing. And it's supporting that framework no matter where you are in the world. And that framework has been agreed at UN level and said these are good things that teachers should know and be understanding. So actually it allows a really accessible point for all educators to actually get an understanding of that. So if you join the education MEC, Microsoft Education Community, education.microsoft.com, sign in, create your account, then you've got access to all this stuff. You've got access to resources for specific products. You've also got access to a community you can ask questions of. Mm. One of the interesting things in the community is that you can actually go, I'm available for the next hour, and it just looks a little green light to say, I'm here if you want to ask any questions or speak to my class. I haven't had it happen yet, but
so somebody could come in, and if you were online there, they would say, can I speak to your class,
or speak to you, can you speak to my class?
Alright, okay.
So you know, you could just start on the spot a little bit thing, not planned.
And my immediate kind of question around that is, you have some sort of evidence that this is a real person, not a robot or somebody from, you know, with bad intentions. So is that is there some sort of filtering on there that I would know who was coming in?
Yes, I mean, you would only have to be you'd have to then say, has the account been approved, has the account been made active, all those kind of things, to make it sure it's a real email, all those kind of things. Ian's come back with a question saying, do you think that the MOE programme might attract educators who wouldn't be likely to join the other programmes? Actually, no, I don't think so, Ian. I think educators come into it with a range of things. Some will come in and they've got an interest towards, they've just bought an iPad, so they'll join that. Some have just bought a Chromebook, they'll join that. But what educators have is they've heard of the company Microsoft, they've seen the products. They know it's on almost every PC they've got access to in their school. The question then becomes, how can they use what they've got already to make good use of? As John said earlier, these originally started out as business programmes. But actually, how can they actually take and make it useful and not be death by PowerPoint and not be clip art crazy on top of things, just popping up with every possible effect in the world. How do you scale back from that and request it to be not quite so bad?
It's sort of, we talked about bad PowerPoints, but you know, if you're a primary school teacher, that's a good starting point, in my opinion. It's like a really, for a children's point of view, have a PowerPoint with all sorts of horrible effects, preferably guns, balloons exploding and things whizzing in, because you can then dial it back, you can then talk about that, and the kids can have
yeah, there is no bad
fun.
Learning experience, yeah. Is what you're saying.
The kids can have fun there. So we like bad PowerPoints as long as they're not being presented to us by somebody.
And we've all had really, really bad PowerPoints, yeah. And not just in classes.
Yeah.
Well, also in meetings.
I was thinking more of not in classes myself. Many other things. I think that kind of wraps it up for me, Ian. I don't know if you've got any last words. The URLs we will have on the show notes. We should get this audio up on EduTalk over the next couple of days. We'll have the URLs to various places. Maybe do a wee storyfy on the tweets from tonight. So if you're listening, thanks very much. You can see the usual stuff on EduTalk at edutalk.cc. You can see what's coming up. The program is beginning to pick up for the rest of the year. There's quite a lot of shows. Dave has been working quite hard before this. This is my first one of the year. Ian can be found at IanStuart66. That's Stuart and IanStuart 66. That's the main place people would find you in, on Twitter, their main social network. We'll put the URLs in for everything else. If you're listening and you're interested in taking part, just get in touch. You can get in touch with me through Twitter if you send me a DM or whatever. If you want to talk about being Microsoft expert or something else completely different or anything at all, as long as it's a bit to do with education, give us a shout and we'll just now hang up the mic. Thanks for listening. Thank you very much for being on, Ian, because it's nice to see you anytime. And
always a pleasure, John. Always a pleasure.
Cheers.